Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
You know, we've talked a lot about seeing the kingdom on earth. And that's the thing, is that we have to learn that it's not the visible things that we see, but it's the invisible that's happening behind us that's so important. As we begin to focus on the things that we can't see, as we begin to focus our minds on the kingdom, then they begin to come to pass in our lives in a way that's undeniable. It then becomes visible to the people around us. That's the kingdom on earth. The kingdom has so many mysteries. And that's the thing, is the Bible is the key to those mysteries. So it takes us understanding that, stepping out in faith and going after the things that He has for us, the invisible things that we can't see. Yes. And that as we allow them to fill our life and come to life in our life, they become visible for the people around us. It's really an amazing thing, right? Because as we allow Him to move and do things, those things begin to shine out. It's like that city on a hill. It's that ability to just shine so bright, not because of who we are, but because of who He is in us. You're not attractive just because, yes, God made you beautifully and wonderfully the way He made you, but it's Him in you that shines bright to a world that's searching so much for Him. Something missing. And that's the key right there, is that there's a world that's constantly searching. And that as we allow for those things to take hold in our life, they become so visible to them that they want to know, what is it about you that's so different? How is it that when there's a storm around you, when there's so much going on, that you're so calm? What is it that when that person is talking down to you, you know who you are still? Amen. Those are the things that become visible to the people around us. It's the kingdom on earth, them seeing that life doesn't have to be the way everybody says or expects, but that He has a plan for your life, that if you just allow it, He'll begin to show you and it'll come forth. He's a way maker. That's the thing. Is us realizing the power that He has, the things that He's doing. We begin to see that it has nothing to do with us. That if we just focus on Him and go after Him, then those things begin to just unlock in our life as the Holy Spirit reveals them. It's revelation in your life. This is the key to the relationship with Him. The key to not just being a church who plays church, but a church who's moving forward. A church who's doing things. A church who's allowing the kingdom to come forth, because we're allowing Him to speak within us. It's what's so important. We don't just come to stand and do the normal routine. It's that relationship that is key. Yeah. I know we've said it before, but when you date somebody, when you're going to get married, you want to get to know them, right? And it's the same thing with our Father. It's a relationship. And if you want to know Him, you got to go after Him. You gotta look, you gotta be searching, you gotta dive in deep and go after the things of God. You gotta have a hunger and a thirst, you gotta want more. Because as you go after Him, He will reveal Himself. He's not hiding from you. He's there. And as you go after Him, He's gonna begin to reveal all the things He's wanting to pour into your life. It's like the floodgates open. It just begins to flow into your life. And as it flows into you, it also flows out of you to the people around you. He desires for you to go after Him more. Let's look at Let's look at the things of the kingdom. Even when we can't see what's happening around us, we know that he's doing a work, that he's doing something, that he's placing every piece in the position it needs to be in for him to do exactly what he planned. Nothing happens by accident with him. He works all things together for good.
I just feel like the Lord would say that he's saying to us, you are not children of the darkness anymore. You are born of light. You've been seated in heavenly realms. He says we're not to live like we're in darkness anymore. We're not of this world. He wants to display his power and his love and his mercy through us. Think about the mercy that he had on you. What were we before we came to him? Most of us were nothing. He takes the lowly things of this earth and he makes them into something. He uses them. Yeah. Don't walk in darkness anymore. You've been freed from that life. You've been freed from it. He has a plan and a purpose for you, and it's to reach the lost and the hurt and the dying. Don't walk past people without a heart of compassion.
I've been feeling like the Lord is saying that he loves every one of you. He just has a heart for you, and he just wants you to be a part of what he's doing. That he smiles at you whenever he sees you. I mean, nobody has done anything that he would not love and bring home to. But we've been seeing the book of Job, and we talk about the chaos that Job went through. And at the end of the book, it says that Job said, I heard about you. I heard about you, and now I see you. Well, things are going to be changing within this church, within this town, within this area, that you are going to see him. You're not just going to hear about him, that you're going to know that he's a God of truth and a God of light and that he loves you. And that when we do that, I just pray that the blinders would be taken off your eyes and that you would notice that he is a God of miracles. He is a God of power, and he put that authority and power within each one of you. So all you have to say is no to the enemy and open up your eyes and see the miracles that he has for you. Look around you. This chaos is going away, but God will always be here. So keep your eye on him, because when you keep your eye on him, you'll see miracles. You'll see the butterflies that fly before you. You'll see the flowers, everything. It's like when you have said, I want to show you my first love, my first love. So come, look and see your first love, because he's there. And he says, you knew about me, but now you're going to see me. Now your eyes are open, that you're going to see what I have for you. And it's just like what they've been saying. He has things for us. He wants us to go out. We are the light in the darkness. And I'm just so excited because I want to see his beauty. I want to see his power. I want to see it. But, you know, we just have to know that it's within us. And as we see him within us, it'll flow out.
Good words. So a couple weeks ago, I had a breakthrough with Christ, and God's been speaking to me my entire life as a Christian, and mostly through the Word of God. And when he would visit, or when he audibly talked to me, is usually like, is that you, God? Is it pizza? Or is it, I don't think I really want to do that. So I wasn't really obedient. And a couple weeks ago, I really had a breakthrough where God, we had a conversation. And God gave this to me a few days ago. He said, my children, come to me as you are with a heart yearning to be close to me. Keep close to me in all your coming and going. Don't be bogged down by world cares and concerns. My chosen people did not have to wander the desert for 40 years. Even with all the miracles shown and given them and their unbelief, showing them, their unbelief and hardness of hearts prevented them from entering their promised land. I urge you not to make the same choices in your lives. Come to me, abide in me, and I will give you rest. Rest in me, and you will fulfill and complete the purpose and plans I have for you, for they are good. I am that I am. I am your God, a good Father, for I loved you from before the foundation of this world. I gave you my all, even my own Son, and he gave you his all so that we may be united in fellowship. I desire for you to know me and walk in the authority that I, the Creator of all things, have given you. My burden is light and my love is great. So hear my voice and live in faith and walk in obedience to me. Time is short, don't wander. Come to me and see the life I give you. Give me your all as I have already given you all things. So to me, he didn't really operate in my life like this. So I encourage you all to, some of you like Rebecca and Terry and Pastor and a lot of people already flow in this, but the ones who aren't listening to God, listen to God. And that's what Jesus did. Before he did anything, he went to the Father in prayer, and he said, I don't give anything, I don't speak anything unless my Father tell me. So, that's all.
The Lord's been speaking to me about Peter getting out of the boat. He asked the Lord, Lord, can I come to you? He didn't want to be in the boat. He wanted to be with the Lord, and the Lord granted him permission to come out on the water, walking in the Holy Spirit, walking towards Jesus. And the Bible says that he walked, and as long as he was concentrating, he was walking on that water. And he kept walking and walking. And at the end, he got distracted. He got distracted with the wind and the waves, and he started to sink. He was this close to the Lord because the Bible says that the Lord reached out and picked him up. Don't sink. Don't fall. You reach for the Lord. Keep concentrating. Keep walking. Keep walking in the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants us to do. Thank you.
I just want to ask everybody to take a minute, close your eyes, and just contemplate on the majesty of Lord God Almighty. He created the universe. He hung every star in the sky, and he calls them all by name. And yet, he knows every hair on our heads. He loves us so much that he took on human flesh and allowed himself to be hung on a cross for us so that we can have this relationship. Claim that relationship. Claim it. We are his children. We are his heirs. He lives within us. His Holy Spirit is within us. We should walk like a prince of God, a princess of God, because we are. We should hold our heads high. We should not give in to the fear that we see around us all the time. This too shall pass. And just have the faith to know that he's in charge and it will work out. His plan will come to fruition. Even if we don't understand it, it will happen. Keep that thought with you. Hold your heads up.
Lord, hallelujah. I pray this morning, Father God, as we open the Word of God, God, that you would speak to every heart. Lord, that you by your Spirit, Lord, would minister to each and every person that's in the building. Lord, that you, Father God, would have your way with our hearts individually have your way with our hearts, Lord. We thank you for it, God, and we praise you for it this morning. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hey, give somebody a high five if you want, or an elbow if you want, however you want to do it, and tell them thank you for being in God's house this morning. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I love the presence of God. Thank you, my friend. Play, Matt, if I speed up, you speed up. If I slow down, you slow down. Or if you speed up, I'll speed up. Come on, praise God. Hallelujah. How's everybody this morning? Amen. I mean, do you love the presence of God? Amen. Do you love to stand or sit in His presence? I mean, you can sit, you can stand, you can lay on the floor, whatever you want to do. But what, I mean, it's so good to be in the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many of you know that we can do nothing without Him? Do you know that? How many of you know that? That we are just people. We are the sheep of His pasture is what it says. Is that right? Come on, everybody go, bah. Come on, man. Everybody, that's all, amen. He loves us. He watches over us. He cares for us. He takes care of us. He provides for us. Amen. Hallelujah. His promises are very, very real. His promises, He will never take back a promise. Amen. Hallelujah. All you got to do is hold on to it. All you've got to do is take a hold of a promise and say, God, this is what you said. Amen. Ooh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I am the resurrection. That's the wrong. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Our scripture verse this morning, can you put up Romans 1:20? Our scripture verse this morning, and the name and the title is In the Invisible. In the visible. Come on. Everybody say, in the visible. Everybody say that real loud. In the visible. You know, and we were talking this morning, it sounds kind of like the, you know, I pledge allegiance to the flag. One nation under God. Indivisible. In the visible is what we're talking about this morning. Is actually a church or the kingdom of God being absolutely visible in the world today. How many know it's needed? How many of you know that the world needs the kingdom of God, people of the kingdom? How many of you know that? Hallelujah. We are not called to sit in our homes. Amen. Hallelujah. We are called to be people of God. Amen. If God tells you to sit in your home, sit in your home. Amen. But if He tells you, hey, it's time to go visit the neighbor, go visit the neighbor. Amen. We have to be in the kingdom of God where God speaks to our hearts and says, this is what I would like for you to do. Do you remember how Jesus did that? The word of God, Jesus says that I don't do anything except for what my Father says. I don't do it. And then He says, I also don't say anything except for what my Father says. Amen. How many know that'd be good for some of us? Don't say anything. Amen. Come on, man. Sometimes I get a little loose with Rosie and I'll say something. She could look at me. Where'd that come from? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Just kidding. Sometimes it's best not to say anything. Amen. You got to speak what God gives you to speak when He gives you to speak. Amen. Hallelujah. So that we can touch a world for Him. Amen. How many of you know that we're the only vehicle He has? Is that right? Men and women filled with the Holy Spirit, yielding themselves to Him, allowing Him to speak through us. Amen. Into a world that is in desperate need for truth, desperate need for light. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we need to be the visible. We need to be in the visible. Hallelujah. How many know God's not very visible? How many know that God is invisible? Do you know that? He is an invisible God. Amen? Hallelujah. And He does things the way He wants to do. Certain times, certain places. I believe the time and the place that we're at now, God is bringing. I mean, you can see that. I totally believe that the complexion, if you will, of the church is changing. God's changing things. It is time for body ministry. That's why you'll see people coming up here and speaking. Do you understand what's happening? God is saying that we will minister one to another. Amen? It's not just one pastor standing up there and giving the whole thing and then it's over, or we'll pray for you, or that's it. It is body ministry. How many believe in that? How many know that's true? Because you have something that I might need. Do you know that? That I need a word from you. Come on, man. Pastor John, Pastor Stella, my wife Rosie, we need a word from you. And yet, We won't respond to the spirit that's dwelling in us. Can I tell you this? It's time that the complexion of the church change. Amen. Hallelujah. God is changing things. Amen. Hallelujah. I love this, man. I love. Can I say just say this to you? That you are specifically chosen to be here today. Not just in the house. I mean, on the earth today. God pulled you out of a sack and shook you off and said, 2020, this is where you're going to be, my friend. Come on. Amen. August 9th. August 9th. Yeah. Come on. Hallelujah. Hey, Friday was my birthday. Hallelujah. Friday was my birthday, August 7th, 1954. I turned 34 on Friday. But my real birthday, I got born again on the day after my birthday. I gave my heart to the Lord. So yesterday was my real birthday. Amen. Old things are passed away. All things begin. You know, my birthday was, oh, that's an old thing. I got passed away and I got a brand new thing, man. I'm only 41. 41 years old. Amen. I speak that to my... Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing hurting? You're only 41. Come on, amen. Come on, you guys can say amen to that. Yeah, thank you. Come on. You guys are saying, hey, back me up a little bit, man. Come on, man. God is doing some crazy things. Yeah, my brother. God's doing some crazy things. How many know that? How many know that some of the things we're seeing in the earth today are crazy? Is that right? How many of you say that our world is looking crazy? Is that right? People are crazy. Is that right? Look at your neighbor and say, are you crazy? People look like, I mean, you know what? People are doing some crazy things out there. Amen? I don't like the election time anymore. There's so much junk going on. So much this and that. This guy does that. That guy does this. He never did this. And they never, oh, come on, man. You know you got a voice to vote, right? Amen. Come on, man. You got a voice to vote. Take your vote before the Lord. Say, Lord, I am in favor for whoever you're in favor, and I will support that, man. Amen? Amen? Come on, man. Hallelujah. We are not supposed to be people that are divisive. How many know that? We're not created to do that. We are created to show the glory of God in the earth, period. Amen? To show his ways and not our ways. Amen. To know him better than we've ever known him before. Amen. How many want to know him better than you've ever known him before? How many want to see him? The word of God says the pure in heart shall see him. How many want to see him? Hallelujah. Come on. So it's important that you take a look at your heart. Amen. Come on, man. It's important that when you're watching that movie and you begin to get all upset at the bad guy, and just realize that, you know, he's just an actor. Amen? Just realize that. He's not doing, I mean, that's his job. That's what he's doing. He's portraying somebody. And you're getting all hyperventilating and everything because I'm so mad at that guy. Just kill him. People, you're a Christian. Say, I wish they'd just kill that guy. Oh, yeah. Watching a movie. Come on, man. Lighten up a little bit. It's a movie. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't even know why I'm saying this morning. But I might say this. I was up. And on and off, on and off. I don't know how much sleep I got last night, but I kept saying, God, what are you doing? What are you doing, God? Let me sleep. All week long, I've been listening. I mean, I get up in the morning, and I hear this. Faith is a substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Got up early one morning, I heard that. Cool. That's good, God. I love that scripture, God. The next morning, same thing. Next morning, same thing. Next morning, saying same thing. I know that when God speaks something to you once, it's cool. But when he begins to speak it over and over and over again, you better listen. You better pay attention to what he's saying because he's trying to say something to you. And I heard it probably all week long this week. I know that faith is a substance of things hoped for, and it's evidence of things not seen. How many know we're looking at a world that's kind of crazy? But I tell you, the world that God is bringing into the earth, there's evidences of it everywhere. Hallelujah. Can I say that to you? Evidence of what God is doing is not the same as it used to be. It's not the same. Everybody say, not the same. Not the same. It is changing. God is changing things. The kingdom of God is entering into the earth, and it's a powerful thing. Whoo, hallelujah. It is. It is what we've been waiting for. Amen? Jesus said, pray it this way, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's what we've been waiting for. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to take you to a kind of a crazy story. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. So let's do that. Let's change. Hallelujah. In the visible. I want to be in the visible. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Let's pray. Thank you for your word, Father. Father, we honor you and all that you're doing, God. And Father God, we know that you know our hearts. Father, I know you know my heart. And God, I know you know the heart of every person that's in here today, Lord. Every person that's going to hear this podcast as it goes out, Father, I know you know their hearts. So Father God, I just pray, Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way. Speak to our hearts. Let us hear what you are saying to us. We thank you for it, God. We honor you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. 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 I love this story. Hey, where are you going, man? You can stay up here, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's Israel had a priest named Eli, and he had two sons that were actually not very good guys. They were actually doing things they shouldn't be doing with the people of Israel. And so God was upset. God was not happy with what he saw was happening with the Levitical priesthood. So God, there's a young man that shows up on the scene. His name is Samuel, just a little guy. And God begins to speak through Samuel to Eli about his two sons. And yet Eli would not take his sons out of the priesthood. He left them there, and he told, when Samuel told Eli about that God was going to kill them both in one day, then Eli said, well, he's the Lord, let him do what he wants to do. And so it wasn't too long after that Israel went into battle against the Philistines, and the Philistines they were actually winning the battle. They were defeating Israel. So what Israel did, they said, hey, what we need is the Ark of the Covenant. Let's take the Ark and bring it into the battle. Amen. I would say that's a good plan. How many of you say amen to that? It's a good plan to have the Holy Spirit or the presence of God being with you, no matter where you're going. Is that right? It's a good plan, unless you have been a little bit rebellious against God. Then the plan, it might not be a good plan. Well, they took the Ark of Covenant, and they took it to the camp of Israel. And when it came in, the men that were fighting, the fighting men, man, they, praise God, man. They were worshiping and everything, so much so that the Philistines heard them. And they go, what's going on? And it says, sounds like the God of Israel has come into the camp. Amen? Praise God. Good deal. So I don't know who it was in the Philistines, but one of them said, hey, don't let it bother you. Be a man. Fight. Don't let Israel be. They have been servants to us. We don't want to be servants to them. Fight, and fight with all your heart. So he encouraged them, and they went into battle again. And Israel went into battle, and the thing was that they killed Hophni and Phinehas, who were Eli's sons. As they took the ark into the battlefield, Hophni and Phinehas were killed in the battle, and the Philistines captured the ark. Oh no, amen? Hallelujah. Oh no, that ark has been captured. What are we going to do? So they ran and they told Eli. There was a man that ran to Eli, and he says, your sons are dead. And he says, okay. He goes, what about the ark? And the Bible says that he said that the man told him, it's been captured by the Philistines. And when he said that, Eli was sitting on a stool, and he was a big man, and he fell over backwards and he broke his neck and died. One of the sons' wives was having a baby. She was in labor, and she had a son, and she named him Ichabod. She said, his name is Ichabod, for the glory of the Lord has departed from Israel. Isn't that sad? That's sad. How many never want to be in that position? Oh man, I'll tell you what, man. God, what do you got to, whatever you got to do to me, God, if you got to rub my face in the ground, shake me around, dust me off, and throw me down again, whatever you got to do, God, but don't let me ever get into that position. Amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. David said, he goes, don't take your Holy Spirit from me, Father. Never take your Holy Spirit from me. Forgive my sin, Lord. So here, this is where we're at. The Philistines have now grabbed the hold of the ark, and now they're going to take it home with them. Amen? Bad idea. How many of you say amen to that? Bad idea. Come on, man. The Philistines were heathen. They didn't worship the God of Israel. They didn't worship Yahweh. Hallelujah. So that's where we're at here. So in verse 1 it says, and the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. And when the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Hallelujah. Oh, bad deal. Hallelujah. And when they of Ashdod arose early in the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. Wouldn't you say there's something going on here? Wouldn't you kind of think, hey, what's happening? Maybe our God just fell over. But anyway, I get a kick out of this kind of. It says, in the morning they arose again on the morning. Behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump, I like that. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. The presence of God kind of went after that heathen idol. Amen? Praise God. Hey, look at your neighbor and say, hey, God's coming after your idols. Come on, man. Come on, it's not bad. Come on, man. God's coming after your idols, man. God's coming after those things that you're placing before him. Amen? You got God on the side. And you got your whatever it is you like. Oh, I know you don't like this, but this is truth. God says, I will be number one in your life, or I won't be anything. Amen? Come on, man. You got to do what God tells you to do. Amen? Amen. You got to understand that it is time that we pay attention to the God that saved us. Amen. But it's the time that we hear what his voice is saying to us. Hallelujah. That, I don't know if you like that or not, but that's good preaching. Yeah. Come on, Pastor Henry. Preach that thing. Hallelujah. He's coming after your stuff. He's coming after your stuff. Hallelujah. Whatever it is that's taking up more of your time than what that would absorb your time rather than him, he's going to come after it. Hallelujah. You know why? Because he loves you. He loves you. What kind of a God would he be to just let you stay there? Amen? He's going to come after your stuff. Hallelujah. But what I love about him, when he comes after your stuff, he gives you better stuff. Amen? He gives you some goods. Amen? Hallelujah. He's faithful to do that to you because he loves you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's been that way all my life. Hallelujah. Some of the stuff I thought I needed, he's come after it. Hallelujah. When I first got saved, man, I loved to drink. Getting to some of you, huh? I loved it. And he come after it. But when he took it out, I was serving the king of beers, amen? His name was Bud. Hey, Bud, that's who I was serving. And when he come after it, man, he took the king of beers out of my heart, and within my heart, he placed the king of kings and the lord of lords. Hallelujah. And I've been different ever since, amen? Come on, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's going to come after your stuff. He will, because he loves you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It says, but verse 5, I guess it is. Therefore, neither the priest, no, verse 6, For the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them, and he smote them with emerods. Those are a King James word for hemorrhoids. Amen. Hallelujah. They didn't make Preparation H back then. Hallelujah. So these guys were in trouble. Amen. Everybody say, man, man, God's messing with you. Amen. Come on, man. And he says, and when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us. And look, who else? And Dagon, our God. Amen. Don't you think it'd be time to change gods? Don't you think that it's time that you say, hey, whoa, wait a minute. He knocked him off and cut his head off. Hallelujah. Can't tell you God doesn't mess around, does he? He doesn't mess around. When he says he's number one, he's number one. Amen? Come on. You shall have no other God before me. That's what he says in his word. I am a jealous God is what he says. I am a consuming fire. And I'm jealous for my people. Amen? Are you glad? I'm glad. Because when somebody begins to treat me ill or somebody comes after me, I've got a jealous God that is behind me. I remember seeing a brother on TV. He used to go like this. See this right here? This is his big toe. But can I tell you, God's a lot bigger than that. Amen? Hallelujah. And he's with you and he cares for you. Oh, God. Hallelujah. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the ark of God that of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God. They sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them and said, what shall we do with the ark of the Lord of the God of Israel? And they answered and said, let the ark of God of Israel be carried about unto Gath. And they carried the ark of the God of Israel about there. And it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And he smote the men of the city, both small and great, and they had emerods in the secret parts. Amen? You will find, if you continue to read this story, that they were not comfortable with God's presence in their city or in any of their cities. In another place, they tried to take it to another city, and then the leaders of that city said, you ain't bringing that thing in here, man. No way. No, send it somewhere else. And then they said, well, what should we do? So they gathered all the lords of the Philistines, and they said, what should we do? And they said, hey, for one thing, you have to give God a trespass offering. We've made a mistake. Amen? How many ever made a mistake with God? Come on, man, that should be everybody. Hey, man, we've all made mistakes. We made a mistake. And he said, bring a trespass offering and place it on there. And what should we put? He goes, well, make pictures of your hemorrhoids. Isn't that weird? All right, that's kind of a weird thing. But anyway, so they made these little golden things of the hemorrhoids, and then they had some rats that represented the leaders. Is that cool? And they said, put it on a new cart and send it to Beth Shemesh. That's the city. And they said, take a kine or a cow, and one that has just had a little cow. What do they call those?
Calf.
Calf. Take a mama cow and put the baby cow over there and send that ark to Beth Shemesh. And then they said, if the cow stops and turns around, we'll know this was just a. It was just one of those happenstances. It was just one of those things that just happened. But if that cow continues and goes on down the road all the way to Bethlehem, we will know that it was the God of Israel. Well, guess what? That cart made it all the way to Bethlehem. So the lords of the Philistines knew, hey, that was God. Hallelujah. Amen? They knew. Something changed in their hearts. Is that right? How many know that? Where before they thought, hey, Israel is just Israel, man. We can attack them anytime. But now all of a sudden they say, hey, they have a God. And this God is crazy. He's a crazy God. Amen? You don't mess around with God's stuff. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to put up the scripture. Hebrews chapter 11, 6. How many know this? Now, I want to just talk to you about having faith in an invisible God. And it says, now, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Is that right? How many know that? That, why do you know that? Because the scriptures tell us without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hallelujah. Do you know that that is instructing you? You got to have faith to get to know God. Is that okay? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You're going to need a measure of faith to get to God. Is that right? You're going to need some kind of faith that he is, and he says who, and who he says he is who he is, and that's it. I believe it. You come to him and says, without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is. Amen? How many know there's a lot of people out there that don't believe in God? Is that right? Or they'll tell you they believe in God, but they got no idea what he's like. Is that right? Can I tell you, that's our job. It is our job to open our mouths and display the glory of God in the earth. Is that okay? Is that right? Is that okay? Let me pray for you, brother, and you pray for them, and they get healed. Hey, you know, let me, you know what? You need to, you know, let me pay for that. I'll pay for that for you. And the glory of God begins to show up in their lives. They begin to understand something. How many of you ever paid for somebody's gas at the gas station? Pay for the gas. How many pay for the groceries? Jonathan was telling me he was at a Starbucks, and he said that when he went to pay, the guy told him, the guy in front of you said to pay for yours. He goes, okay, well, go ahead and pay for the person behind me. He said, the guy told him, this is like the eighth time just today, all these people paying for those behind them. Can I tell you, it's the glory of God in the earth. Hey, if there's any time to be giving, today's the time to be giving. Amen? If there's any time to be over there doing what God has told you to do, today's the day. Amen? Amen. Do what God has for you to do today. This is the day he's made. Just do what he says. Amen? Can I tell you that he speaks to you more than you think he does? He will speak to you about things during the day that you might think is just you thinking. Is that right? But sometimes if you just think about it, you're going to find that I don't really think this way. I'm not that kind of a thinker. I was getting ready to do a lesson for the Assemblies God. I was the adult Sunday school teacher, and I was making a plan. And I got up in the morning, and then the Lord said, wash the dishes. I said, wash the dishes? I said, man, that's... I don't wash the dishes. I told myself that. I thought it was me. I thought it was, it sounded like me just thinking, wash the dishes. And I said, I don't do that. I study. I get my coffee. I sit down and I go over the lesson, God. But I started thinking about that. I go, you know what? I got up. I said, you know, I'll just go do the dishes. So I got up and did the dishes. There wasn't a lot of them there, but I went ahead and did it. When Rosie came out of the bedroom, she looked at me. She goes, you did the dishes. I said, yeah, I did. And she started weeping. I go, whoa. Can I tell you that? I will tell you that Rosie and I had a great day that day. Yeah. And it was because I listened to that voice, which I thought it was me, but it wasn't me. It was actually the Lord ministering to my wife through me. Amen. And a lot of times you'll get thoughts like that and you'll say, I don't do that. You'll think, what? Nah. And you push it off. But could it be that if you begin to listen to that voice and obey it, that you'll hear it again and then again and then again, and that voice becomes clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer, and so that you are actually, like the Word of God tells us we should be, you're being led by the Spirit of God. Amen? Not doing your own thing, but being led by God's Spirit. Can I tell you, the church has been led by their own desires or what they think is the right way to do it. They have been led that way, and God is saying, no, well, hold it. Let's start again. My Spirit will lead you into these things, and you'll find that those the things he leads you into, those are the things you're going to take great joy in, because he will always lead you to build and strengthen somebody. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. I love it. I love it when God says, hey, do this. I love it when he says, do that. And I say, God, I'm going to go do this. He said, don't do that. Okay. What do you want me to do? Go do this. Okay, I'll do that. Because God will lead you. How many believe that? Do you believe that God will lead you? Do you believe? Hallelujah. Amen? Hallelujah. It says this, it says, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you know that God rewards you for going after him? I like that word diligently. How many like the word diligently? I mean, it is a focused word. It is a word where you place him. You say, man, I'm coming after you. I will seek you, God. I will come after you. I won't do my own ways. I will not pre-plan today. I will ask you and I'll go after what you have for me, God. Is that okay? And I think I really believe that God says, yeah. And he's a rewarder for those that will actually do that. And that's cool. Isn't that cool? That's awesome. God leading you. And not you on your own. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. When a man's ways please the Lord, the word of God says that he makes his enemies, what? To be at peace with him. Amen? How many of you want your enemies to be at peace with you? Is that right? How many sometimes we have little things that just trouble us. We just have these little whatevers coming into our life that we allow and they trouble us. And God said, man, if your ways will please me, if you will come after me, I'll make that enemy that's been trying to drag you down. Because I will tell you, there is an enemy out there that wants to drag us down. Is that right? I don't even mention his name. Is not worthy of mentioning in the house of God. Amen? Sometimes people will just say, well, this and that, this guy, he's doing this to me, he's doing that to me. I said, stop it. You have been bought with a price. And that purchase, it paid to get you out of his hands. Some people will say, well, the devil said this to me. I'm going to tell you something. Quit listening to him. Just quit. Don't even address him. Don't even tell him to shut up because he wants you to address. He wants you to talk to him. Don't even do that. Just, I'm going to change my thinking. Amen? I need to think the way God thinks. Praise God. I don't need, hallelujah, to be listening. I mean, you've got nothing for me. That's what you should say to that guy. Is that right? Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Pay no attention to him. He got nothing for you. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll go to the next scripture. Is Hebrews chapter 11, 1. This is the one that's been coming after me all week long. And I'm going to tell you something. I really don't know why God has been speaking this to me, except for I know that he wanted in this. It could be possibly for one or two of you, or maybe all of you. But I believe that the Holy Spirit is saying something in this scripture. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Amen? Pretty poor amen. Amen? Amen? Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I want you to look at substance. Substance. The word is hyep. The Greek word for substance is hypostasis. Is that okay? Hypostasis. And it means a setting under or a foundation. Okay? Faith is the substance or a foundation, if you will, for things hoped for. And it's evidence of things not seen. Let me just say that it's a foundation for things hoped for. The Greek word for hope is the word elpizo. Elpizo. Elpizo, elpizo. That's the Greek word for the word hope. And that word also is in Spanish, this is called el piso, the floor. It is a place to stand. But the thing about the standing under el piso is the fact of the matter is that it's a joyful standing. It is a place where you're saying, yeah, man, I got a promise here, man, from God, and he's going to take care of it. You see, my mom, when I was engaged with Rosie, told me, you have to buy a hope chest. How many have a hope chest? Anybody here have a hope chest? My mom told me, you have to buy her a hope chest. I go, what for? She goes, your dad bought me one. I said, okay, that's a good reason. I'll buy you one. I'll buy her one, though. I don't know what it's for. But she goes, no, this is what it's for. She puts all her little bed sheets in there. Is that right? Doilies. You guys remember doilies? My mom, she puts in her 90s, whatever, in this hope chest. Okay. And she goes, It's really something where she looks forward to everything in that. I said, okay. See, that was a hope chest. It was a hope that was had joy in it. Amen? It is a wonderful looking forward to something that was going to happen. Amen? That's what hope is. How many use hope in a bad way? Well, do you think you'll not get COVID-19?
Well, I hope so.
You hope so. See, that's the wrong kind of hope. Amen? That's not the kind of hope the Bible's talking about. There's a different kind of hope. It is a joyful, constant standing under something. It is a realization that God has made me a promise, and I don't care what goes on in this earth. I don't care what it looks like. There's going to be a fulfillment of his promise in my life. Amen? Hallelujah. El piso. It is a happy time. Amen? Hope. Because you know what? Hope. The Bible says in another place, it is the anchor to the soul. It's what holds you. It's like keeps you from floating off into the oblivion or whatever. It holds you. It is a joyful type of holding where you say, I know God's taking care of me. Amen? Come on, man. This is what we need for today. Hallelujah. A joyful understanding, a faith that is a foundation for you, that is a rock solid place where you cannot be moved. Amen? Praise God. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, and it's evidence of things not seen. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe in standing in God's presence? Do you believe in that? I mean, I'll tell you what, I felt the presence of God this morning like crazy. I feel him now. I love standing in his presence. But it's not just corporately. It is something where you can do at home, in your truck, in your car, at the store, in the bathroom, in the shower, wherever you're at, you can step into the presence of God. Do you know that? How many know that? How many like that? I love the presence of God. Can I tell you, in God's presence, it's just like this thing, this Dagon standing in. I mean, see, because Dagon, the God, do you know what Dagon was? Dagon was the people of Ashdod and Gath and all, they were close to the sea. And so Dagon was actually a fish god. Amen? It was a fish. But this fish didn't look like a fish. It was a fish with a head of a man on it. What? And then where the two little fins underneath were the director, it had two hands sticking out of it. Isn't that weird? I was going to drop for you, but then I thought, yeah, that'd be kind of weird. But it really is. That's what Dagon was. He was a fish god. They were bowing down to this. You know, God told them, don't make anything, don't make any idol after anything that, like the stars of the sun or the stars of the sky, the sun, the fish, the cattle, don't make any image and bow down and worship it. These guys had Dagon, the fish god. So it's not funny to me, or it is funny to me, that when God knocks it over, he cuts it off at the head. And he cuts the hands off of it, because fish don't have heads of people, and they don't have hands of him. And here are these people, these Philistines, our poor God, let's pick him up. Come on, man. Hallelujah. That would tell you something. Amen. Amen. Whatever's going, you know, I'll tell you what, I think I need to focus on this God here. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what Dagon was. He was a fish god. And he was in the presence of God. And when you're in the presence of God, anything that is contrary to God will not stand. Can I tell you that? Can I say that to you? Amen. I'm going to say it to you again. Anything that is contrary to who God is, when you stand in the presence of God, it can't stand it. Hallelujah. This is why you should be going home and finding time to go to bow down in front of a chair or next to your bed or in your car and worship God. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. I will run into it and I will be safe. Hallelujah. Do you know when the presence of God, when you stand in the presence of God, cancer has no chance. Anything that is contrary to God has no chance. This is why it's so important that you spend your time. Spend time in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Anger has no chance in the presence of God. Can I tell you that?
Amen.
Come on, there is a soothing balm that comes over anger and unforgiveness and all these things. It comes from the presence of God when you're in His presence, and it will wash you and cleanse you. Amen? Hallelujah. Spend time in God's presence. Spend time. You cannot afford not to in today's world. Because we as the body of Christ in the earth today have a job that God is talking to us about, is reaching the lost. Amen? Amen? Being a light, being a visible, source of the kingdom of God in front of everybody. Isn't that cool? I think it's cool. I don't know. You guys might not think it's cool, but I think it's cool. Hallelujah. I like the word threshold. I like that word. If you go back, you know what? Go back to those scriptures. I think it's Samuel chapter 2. I'm sorry, Samuel chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. Let's read those real quick. It says, And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they arose early on the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon, everybody say threshold.
Threshold.
They were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. And I thought that was a funny word, but I kept coming back to it. It's almost like the Lord kept saying, go back to the threshold. Go back to the threshold. I go, what, the threshold? What are you saying? Because I, all my life, I've always thought of the threshold. Now, bring that threshold word up as just the place where you step over. How many remember that that when you got married, how many guys did you carry your wife across the threshold? Anybody? What was a threshold? There was two in the dictionary. It said a plank or rock under a doorway. Is that okay? A sill. That's the threshold. But then I liked the second one because I could see that God was trying to say something to me. It says any place or point of entering or beginning. Any place or point of entering or beginning. Can I tell you, saints, can I tell you this? That we are in the threshold of what God is getting ready to do on the earth. Do you know that? Do you understand that God is getting ready to do a worldwide outpouring of His Spirit?
Amen.
Do you know it? The Word of God says, all flesh shall see it. Hallelujah. Ooh, I don't know about you, but I get excited about it because we're at the threshold. As a matter of fact, I think we're at the entering in of it because things are changing. I sense things changing in a big way. Can I tell you that as we cross over this threshold, things are going to be changing. You're going to be praying for people. They're going to be saved. They're going to get healed. Hallelujah. Because of the Spirit of God that dwells in you rises up and begins to speak to them and talk to them and walk all over them, man. And those things that they're doing that's contrary to Him, it will fall just like that Dagon did. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're in the threshold. And I like the other part of the threshold because there's a day when Jesus comes to take His bride. Amen. And I see Rosie, where you at? Let me pick you up, man. And I'll carry you. I'm going to carry her across. Jesus is going to pick the bride of Christ up and carry us across that threshold. You're going to see it. You will see it. You will see it. Woo. Hallelujah. We are in the midst, you know, the threshold. I mean, that threshold, what it's talking about, it cut off Dagon's hands at the threshold. See where the arm stopped, and there's a wrist there. Then it's a starting and stop point. The head, the neck, starting and stop point, and then the head was cut off at the threshold. The hands were cut off at the threshold. Do you see? It is a place of starting something new. We're there. God is speaking. If there's any time for you to seek him, these are the days. These are the days where he says, I will bring up Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1, 2, and 3. And I know most of you love this scripture because he is describing this. Arise, shine. Amen. For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Is that happening today? Yeah. I was listening to a friend of John. Well, a lot of guys, you guys know Devo, right? You guys all know Devo. He comes and plays music for us and with Jonathan and stuff. Devo, his wife Donna, they minister to young people. They minister to teenagers. And so she cuts these podcasts, I guess. She does these podcasts for these young girls. But what's been crazy about it, the moms of the young girls are saying, hey, I want this. Send it to me. Give it to me. And I was watching one the other day. I said, hey, this is for girls, but, you know, I want to go ahead and watch it. And what she was saying, man, there was an anointing on this young lady that, man, can I tell you something? The kingdom of God sounds different today. It sounds different. It looks different. It feels different. Amen. It's new. It's new. It's new. And you're part of it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo. And she said, she was reading it in the TPT, and it says this darkness is like a blanket that's covering the people. But then it says this, check it out. It says, and the gross darkness of people, but the Lord, look at the Lord, shall arise where? Upon you. And his glory shall be seen upon you. And the Gentiles, who's that? People that don't know him. How many say amen to that? People that don't know him, they got no idea how good he is. But somehow they're going to see how good he is in your life. They're going to say, whoa, what is this? I want some of this. Everybody say, I want some of that. I want some of that. I want some of that. And then he says, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Rise up, he says. Rise up, O kingdom of God. For this kingdom is in the earth. Do you know that? The kingdom is in you. And is to be exposed by you. Hallelujah. We're getting ready to baptize some folks. And I'm going to tell you something, that this water is a representation of the life, the death, and burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the resurrection. How many know that? That's what baptism is. It is just a type. It doesn't save you. It just, what it does for you is you say before all, look, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe what he's done for me. The Bible says that when you accept Christ in your life and the Spirit comes to dwell on you, it says, old things are passed away. Amen? Everything that's old goes under the water, dies. That's right. Yep. And then if John and I hold you long enough, just kidding. When we bring you up, it is significant of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Word of God says, let's put this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Says this, you guys, a lot of you know this by heart. Was it 2 Corinthians 5, 17? I think so. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Oh, yeah. I didn't give you that, did I, Kate? I'm sorry. The Word of God says, old things are passed away. And behold, all things are brand new. Do you guys believe that? Amen. Do you believe it? Yes. Do you believe it? Yes. Do you believe that when you step into the presence of God, that God begins to go after those things that are contrary to who he is in your life? And he will lovingly. And I've got to tell you this, lovingly. Isn't that right, John? Doesn't he love us? Yes, he's not going to spank you.
No.
He's not going to tear you up. He's not going to pick you up and throw you down 30 times and says, okay, you're good. He loves you. He will lovingly come after those things that are contrary to him. And when you step into his presence, you're saying, God, I've got nothing on my conscience that's bad towards anybody or are bad towards you. Thank you, Lord, for that. And you watch what happens. That clear conscience between you and God, he begins to speak into it. He begins to strengthen it and build it. And it starts with this thing right here. It starts with a baptism where you say, hey, God, I believe that. I believe you've raised me from the dead, and I am a new creature in Christ. Sometimes we get into things, amen? Sometimes we get into stuff, and we find ourselves, in stuff, amen? And you know it's contrary to God, but you know what? Your flesh likes it. Is that right? Your flesh likes it. And so you keep doing it, and you keep doing it, and you keep telling God, man, God, I'm so sorry, God. Forgive me, God. And God says, yeah, it's a done deal. You're better than that, my friend. You're better, young lady. You're better than that, young man. You are created for the glory of God in the earth today. Hallelujah. And that's what he'd be saying to you. So some of you, maybe you might want to come in the water today and just say, you know what? I'm going to believe God's going to put that away. I believe God's going to wash that from me. You might say, hey, I didn't bring a towel today. How many didn't bring a towel? Some of you are asleep. Okay, did I put you to sleep? I think most of you didn't bring a towel today, did you? Yeah, some of you didn't bring a towel. But you might want to get in this thing and just say, God, I'm rededicating this thing to you. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want to hear what you've got to say. And the things that have been loading me down, Lord, your word says, come unto me, ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what your word says, Lord, so I'm coming to you. Take these things off of me. In Jesus' name, can I tell you that God is faithful and he will remove things from you? How many of you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to get ready for baptism. John and I are going to get ready. And Abe. And we're going to have somebody come up and talk with you. Amen? Yeah. I hope your wallets aren't shaking because we're not going to try to get money out of you. How many of your wallets start shaking when they start asking for money? Oh, no. We're going to ask for money. Hallelujah. We got what we call a ministry minute coming up. And Sister Linda's going to come up and talk to us about that ministry minute. And we'll be right back out so that we can get into the baptism. Amen? Let me just pray for you real quick. Real quick. Yep, it's okay. Father, I just thank you this morning for your word. And God, I'm asking you, Father God, you would, by your spirit, Lord. By your spirit. Lord, by your spirit. Touch every heart. And Father, I thank you for what you're doing today. Bless my brothers and my sisters. Bless them, Father God. Bless them with the understanding of what you have for them personally. Bless them with that, Lord. Because I know, Father, when they know what you have for them, your blessings will be multiplied upon them. Because it's what you have for them. So I thank you for that, Father. Bless my brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. 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 Hallelujah. Be right back out.
Hi. Good morning, church. Isn't it amazing just how God has tied in everything we've heard into this message from each and every person who has spoken, from the music to the different people who got up here and spoke? It's all lining up, and you're going to be amazed, too, because God gave me this last night, and this is what I'm going to be sharing with you. But first, I'm going to tell you about a ministry that we have. It's the prayer ministry. There are many people that belong to that ministry, and it's led by Pastors John and Stella Valero. And if you have a prayer need, you can contact them, or Pastors Henry and Rosie Ayala. You can contact them also, and people from this body will pray for you. But today, in addition to that, I want to talk about how we can deepen our walk with the Lord. And this is what the Lord gave me last night. So, you know, while you have that ministry available, you also can do this for yourself. So I want to share with each of you that you can enter into the realm of powerful prayer. And each of us if each of us realize that God has equipped us to be victorious through his word, and when we stand on his word, strongholds of the enemy are destroyed. Households, neighborhoods, and cities can be changed. Situations can become victorious and victories for us when all we've seen before is defeat. We can rise above all of that. And it's just because we need to have a walk with Jesus. You will see the enemy lose power. Your spiritual authority is unleashed through prayer. You need to have the right tools. And the first tool is the Bible. We need to know the word. We need to know we don't even have a fathom. We can't even imagine what God has for us. It's right in front of us, and we don't use the tools. It says having a prayer journal to keep track of the prayers that you pray, whether it's for you or others. So then that way you can see what victories he's brought through prayer. You have to pray in your own language, but also pray in the Spirit. It is so wonderful when God prays through you, and that's in Jude 1:20. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures, think about. So spend time in worship, praise, and thanksgiving. Confess your sins. Determine if you need to repent of something or forgive someone. Cast all your cares and burdens upon the Lord. You do not fight spiritual battles in your own strength. You fight them with the strength of the Lord. We each have authority through the blood of Jesus, and that's Hebrews 10:19 through 23. We have the name of Jesus, Philippians 2:9 through 11. We have the authority of the word, the sword of the Spirit, and that's in Ephesians 6:16 through 18. So now it's time to stand, put your foot down, make no covenant, show no mercy, and take victory in Jesus' name. And that's in Deuteronomy 7:1 through 2. Each of us has a spirit of wisdom, understanding, divine counsel, supernatural might, knowledge, and fear of the Lord. We are divinely empowered and can increase in skill and understanding. And those three scriptures are Isaiah 11:2-3, Colossians 1:9-11, and Ephesians 1:17-18. Instead of giving up and giving in or falling prey to the strategies of the enemy, it's time for us to consider our times of struggle, testing, and temptation as divine opportunities to be trained in the art of strategic prayer and spiritual warfare. It's time to move. God has created you for a purpose. Proverbs 18:21. And remember, death and life are in the power of our tongue. You must effectively use anointed words to destroy the works of the enemy in your life, your home, your ministry, community, and the world. Each one of us has a ministry. And you may not believe it, but you do. God has given it to you, so it's time for you to realize, what is my ministry, Lord? What do I need to do to serve you? What do I need to do when I'm out in public? What do I need to do for my family? We have faith that others can pray for us, and that's beautiful. And sometimes we need to have others stand with us. But most importantly, we need to know and trust God to give us what we need in order to pray the effective prayer, and to pray with his anointing, to pray with his Holy Spirit, and to engage the enemy through his words, not through ours, and it's not through anything that we even do. Each one of us is empowered to pray effective prayers through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It isn't about being eloquent. It's about having a relationship with the Lord, standing on the word, believing that he shall bring it to pass. The time is now. You are able to be a mighty warrior of faith. We can all pray effectively and with purpose. It is an amazing gift. If you haven't utilized this gift, it's time to grow and move in a deeper walk with the Lord and accomplish great things in his name for the kingdom. Are you ready? Is it time to take the words of the Lord make them real in our lives and start becoming victorious. We can be victorious in so much, but we've got to take a stand. And we can't believe the neighbor or the friend or whoever is going to pray for us that is going to make it happen. We each need to make it happen. You have to stand on your own two feet and walk with the promises of the Lord. And know that there's so much power that we can do through him, with him. And he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. So it's just time. We need to move in the spirit. And we need to take this nation to a different level. And we can do it one by one, person by person, no matter where you are. If you're in the store, if you're, you know, on the, walking your dog in the neighborhood, if you're just at work, wherever you are needed, it's time to speak out. Because the one thing, we're fearful and we're thinking people are going to think that we're not eloquent enough. But you know what? God will give you the eloquence. And the more you practice, the better you'll be. And the whole point is that we have to be ready to serve the Lord. And how can we do it if we don't know his word? How can we do it if we don't spend time with him? If we don't allow him to change us? We need him in our hearts. We need him. We need to speak the words that he would have us speak. Remember, when he has you speak, he has prepared the other person to hear it. Now, maybe they might get a little upset with you. And, you know, you're planting seeds. And sometimes that person will cry and just say, how do you know? You don't. But Jesus does. And he will equip you in a mighty way. So I just encourage you, please, start walking with this word. Start believing his word. Start standing on his word. And we're going to see miracle after miracle happen. It's time for us to move in it and not let someone else bring that miracle to you, because you have it in you. You have the Holy Spirit. That's all you need. And yes, we can help one another and we can love one another and be there for each other. But sometimes we've got to break the yoke through the word for somebody. So please start thinking now. This is a new time. Everything that's been said this morning, it all lines up. God gave me this message last night. I didn't know I was going to hear the songs that I heard. I didn't know that people were going to speak the same words. We're being told this is our time. This is what we need to do. But you got to step out and you got to be brave. And sometimes you'll fall. But it's okay, because God will lift you up and you'll get stronger time after time. Just like when you learn to walk, it took a little time to do it. And now you walk perfectly, you know. So please, I encourage you, take the time now to walk with the Lord and listen to what he's telling you. So thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.